other people slow down. I know Terry's not slowing down. He's going to, maybe we just remember an extra blessing to different ones. I'm still with FedEx this Christmas, and that's enough to make a Scrooge out of anyone. But during this time of year, whether your work increases or not, there's just a lot going on. And it's very easy to forget the importance of who we carry within us and what's going to change everything. It's His presence being manifest, the presence of the Lord. And I think as human beings, His presence affects us in different ways. And I think the main thing is, let's just pay attention to this. All I'm feeling, the worship made it so real to us this morning, but we're not here all week long, are we? Yet I believe God wants us to carry an awareness of His presence, even in the busyness of our schedules, to be able to stop and listen and experience His presence and hear what He's speaking to us. His presence awakens us. That's how it affects our human state. It's an awakening. We've been born into a different realm. And that realm of His Spirit, that realm of His kingdom, comes like, it's like cold water, refreshing, but it awakens us out of this human state and the stupor and the deadness that can be a part of it. His presence is an unwrapping, like with Lazarus, unwrapping of the grave clothes, the deadness we carry, the scars we carry, the false burdens, all the things that would cover up the power of the treasure of Christ within us. His presence is that which unwraps all the grave clothes where He can shine forth, and we can be aware of Him within us and one another. His presence also is an unveiling. Paul spoke in 2 Corinthians 3 about the new covenant. He said, when they read the old covenant, there remains a veil over their heart. Their minds are hardened. And this is particularly real to me. The kingdom of God is an awakening of the mind of Christ within His people. It's an unveiling where the human state and the human mind and all the problems that come out of our thinking, there's an unveiling of that to where we can have God's thoughts in the mind of Christ. Let's let that unveiling happen to us. His presence bringing us to a point where we can have a deepening revelation of what new covenant life is all about. We can have God's perspective. We can have that continual flow of revelation of the thoughts of God, not only hearing them, but experiencing those thoughts within our life. So Lord, this morning we welcome Your presence as we come into this season. And there's a lot of good things happening with this season, but Lord, we want to be a people that stand in Your presence. And no matter what's going on around us or what activities we're involved with, to be aware of who we are in You. Allow Your presence to move fully through our lives. And we believe for Your people in this hour today, Lord, that the busyness of religion will give way to the power of Your presence being manifest through Your people. And like Moses, our cry is, Lord, if Your presence doesn't go before us, we've got nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go unless Your Spirit is leading us. So let that reality happen within the body of Christ this day. Amen. Aren't we thankful for the worship this morning? Just it was so good from the beginning, and then just seemed to just keep taking off. I thought, well, that's it, and all of a sudden something new would open up in the Lord. Yes, Shelley.
Such a privilege to be here with you all. How many watch TV? Good. Have you noticed the plethora of reality shows? Reality. Yeah, they're pretty sad. Well, I think the greatest reality is to live with an awareness of His presence with us. Those shows really can't show reality. It's a lack of reality. I looked up the word truth in the Webster. And truth is the quality or state of being true. Loyalty, trustworthiness, sincerity, genuineness, honesty. The quality of being in accordance with experience, facts, or reality. It's beautiful. The word of truth was so much in our worship today. Could we turn to John 4, please? I'm sorry. So in John 4, Jesus encountered a Samaritan woman, and it's beautiful the way he handled her. Could we just look at that real quickly? I don't want to get into that too much, but there's some really good things. We'll start in 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink?" Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. How can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." And I love how she dodged this. She said, "Sir, I can see that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain." Perfect subject change. He's getting a little too personal. "But you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come, some translations say, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. So we're going to stop there. Now, one of the contemporary English version, does anybody have that? I love the way it says that. It says, "God is spirit, and those who worship God must be led by the Spirit to worship him according to the truth." It brings out a little nuance that I think some of the others missed. Led by the Spirit to worship him according to the truth. Well, let's kind of examine that. In spirit, that's in his presence, by his strength and enabling. It's a heart work. There's many peoples on the earth that are trying to please God by activity or dedication or something like that. it's not working. It's not reaching God. It's a work that he has done to bring us near, and that is the only thing we can rely on.
Right.
It's being in his presence. I mean, even in giving, you know, tithing or whatever, 10% doesn't cut it. We joyfully come to him and give from our heart, whatever our heart says. That's walking in his way, listening to him. And the second part of this is in truth. Well, we read the definition of truth, but it seems to me that we acknowledge the truth about our human condition. That's hard sometimes. But let's not stay there. More importantly, knowing the truth about him, his love for us, who he is, and what he says about us. Some people are painfully aware of their human condition, but they don't hear what God is saying about them. Other people are in denial of their human condition, and they're caught up in a fantasy world. Christ is the truth, and as that permeates our being, we're going to face the reality, his reality, about every single thing. We're not going to dodge it. The most important thing for us is to know what he says about us. I brought this out before, but it's so on my heart again. Daily, I want to know how he feels about me. He has a name for us each day. I ask him, what do you call me today? And it changes. It's so beautiful. It sustains us. That word, that name. Notice how Jesus was hung up on that too in his prayer in John 17. He says, that name that you gave me. That's so important. It's so important to establish the truth about us, that name that he gives us. I've got a situation at work that has troubled me. I lost a gemstone, flipped out of the tweezers. But you know what? It's so beautiful. The thing that sustained me is the last week, almost every day, I come to the Lord and I said, what are you calling me today? He said, the prophet that finds the diamond. It just blows me away. I've needed that. We all need that kind of communication from the Father. See, the enemy comes in and gets us to question what God has said. He twists the meaning. Or as Brother Oswald brought out, he gets us just to forget about it altogether. Can we go over to Ephesians 4, please? Jackie, did you ever get that room open? Could somebody open that, please? I need a Kleenex. Ephesians 4.
Thank you so much. Bless you.
Okay. Man, I feel like John Horning up here. Okay. I didn't write in water-based ink, so I'm okay. Okay, Ephesians 4. Now, we've been in this recently, too, but there's something that goes along with all this. Okay, we're going to start at 11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, according to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, David, could you read verse 16 in your translation, please?
From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love.
Amen. Thank you. So, it's by what every joint supplies. A joint, at least on my body, is at least two bones coming together. Sometimes more. Like the wrist is a very complex joint, and so is the ankle. There's a lot of bones in there making that joint. So the whole body is growing by what each relationship supplies, each joint. There's so many relationships here. I don't even know all of you personally, but by faith, we're one. As we listen to the Lord tell us who we are and how he feels about us, we will have the clarity to listen to him talk to us about everybody else and who they are to him. That's very important for the body to grow up in love. It's easy for us to be critical, speaking personally here. You know, if we're sensitive, we can tune into stuff and pick up on things. Well, you know, that may be a truth of sorts, but is it his truth? Is it what he's saying about that individual? As we are made clear, a lot of things aren't going to matter. There's still going to be differences in personalities. We're not all going to be thrown in a blender and you pour out the kingdom, a kingdom smoothie. You know, if God wanted robots, he could have done that. There's not one mold for the people of the kingdom. There's as many as there are stars in the heavens and sand on the beach. It's a beautiful thing. Speaking the truth in love. We all have a history, don't we? You know, you meet somebody and you're burdened by their presence sometimes. You say, boy, what a history. Leave your history at home. But we all have a history of interpreting events according to the flesh. How many have been injured in church?
Physical or
emotional? That's interpreting it according to the flesh. Right? Because if you're seeing it through God's eyes, there's not going to be any resentment or hurt. I don't think. As we allow him to open these realms in love, it will have a different kind of a history. His story. That's really what history is. It's his story. It doesn't matter what the other stories are. We want to see things in the proper perspective, don't we? We want to know the truth about us, all of you. Some of you mean so much to me. I mean, all of you mean something, but some of you are just incredibly dear to my heart. You prayed for me, encouraged me, trained me. The first time I came here, like 7 or 8 years ago, Carol latched onto me. I mean, I just got sucked into the worship. It was a tremendous thing. And David threw his mantle over me. I was more of a liability, in my opinion, than an asset. Anybody know accounting? You know, one of those. But you all saw something. Think of all the people that have prayed for each one of you, for each one of us, down through the ages. That's why we're here today. It wasn't our decision. We're connected. We're connected to everybody that's walked with God in history. Yes. There's no room for arrogance or pride. We didn't do it. Who invented this stuff? Bless them. Okay. John 8. Back to John. And it's 30-something. 31, I guess. Okay. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Man, what a religious attitude. We've all had it. We've all had it. You know, the organization we used to be, some of us used to be involved with, had a lot of songs that involved the word Babylon and, you know, being coming out of Babylon and things like that. I think Babylon was looked at as the traditional church. So if Babylon is the traditional church, then something that we're involved in obviously isn't, right? See the us and them mentality? Babylon is any bondage. Babylon is yesterday's manna. It's not enough. It's rotten today. We need today's manna. Babylon is the old wineskin. If you hold to my teaching, you're my disciples. Then you'll know and you'll be free. What's he saying about you today?
Be healed.
What's he calling you?
On the first name.
What's that intimate name that only he, you and he know? What's that name written on the white stone that he hands you? See how precious our Lord is, how intimate he wants to be with us. And we get so caught up in living life, in the world, and church life. It's all rubbish for the privilege of knowing him. Well, I think we should stand and hear him. Just ask him in your innermost heart what your name is today. Lord, we thank you for your word. Remind us each day to go to the quiet place, Let us live in the quiet place. So we speak what we hear you saying. We do what we see you doing. Empower us with your name. The name that is above every name. So that our knee bows and our tongue confesses that you're Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Beautiful. Let's continue with the Spirit as we fellowship and share our meal together. As we get dismissed to do that.
Amen.
Bless our time together. Amen. Continue to bless our time together.